Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 72nd Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today on the show, I have a special Russian blogger. His name is Artyom Nazarov. So welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm great. Thank you for inviting me. What about you?
I'm doing well. It's a good day so far. So just to kind of remember a little bit, I think I came across one of your Italki entries maybe a couple months ago, and I think you were letting people know you're getting started with your language blog. But I think you've had some other experience before this latest blog.
I had another blog. It was mainly in French, because at that time I was learning that language and I need to practice my writing skills. So I decided to start a blog, and later I began to write in Spanish and in English. But this one I mainly write in English, and sometimes I add other languages.
Okay, so what languages have you started with in terms of your learning experience?
Well, the first foreign language I started was English, and then I started at school, and it's been 15 years, I think, since I started that language, but it's not the best one, I think. Later, I started Italian because I was in Italy, and I love this country, and I decided to start learning that language. The next language was French, because I wanted to enter international relations department, so I had to learn French. And then I decided to pick up Spanish, because Spanish is also a very important language, and it's quite easy after two Romance languages, and it was very easy to learn. Now I have two language learning projects, which are German and Portuguese. Portuguese is very easy, but German is completely different story. It's really a tough language for me.
Even coming from Russian, it would seem that with the cases and the there would be some similar things that you could kind of transfer from Russian to German.
Yeah, I actually thought that when I will start this language, it will not be so hard, because my native language is Russian. It's a bit similar. Grammar is a bit similar, but nothing like that. Because, well, Russian, I don't study this language. It came naturally. So I don't have experience in learning such languages, you know, in this sense.
Okay, and of your Romance languages, which ones do you feel that you are most comfortable speaking?
I think French would be, because, well, I love this language, and I really passed a lot of time learning it, discovering every little detail of pronunciation, and I had huge experience in speaking with French people, and additionally I studied at university for a couple of years now, so I think this is my best language.
Okay, yeah, I definitely relate. I did French at the university when I was living in the States, and then after that I decided to move to Paris and study at the university there, and so I was I lived in Paris for about 6 years, so I feel that like my French is a lot better than my Spanish, even though I've been now in Mexico for about a little bit more than 7 years, and I'd say between the two languages I think I have at least about 20 years speaking the languages. But I mean, it's interesting when you get like one language that's better than the other one. It's just different life experiences and the people you have an opportunity to speak with. How do you go about finding language exchange partners and teachers, what is part of your routine for learning languages?
When I started, the first resource I used was a HelloTalk application. I was in Italian, and there I could find some people, some Italians to practice with. Later, I discovered italki.com. Mm-hmm. And right now, this is my number one resource to find native speakers. And yeah, but after I started working in local hostel, so I had a real life practice. I met a lot of people from Europe, French people, Germans, Italians, Spanish, people from Latin America. But now I no longer work in a hostel, and what I do is I just find people on Italki still, and some people from Facebook friends from all around the world. Yeah, that's how I practice. This is not actually when I say people that well, you should find somebody to speak, to practice with if you want to speak that language. They say like, how can I do this? And I say, there are a lot of opportunities on the internet, but they all feel like shy. They don't want to show their face on Skype, you know. And I passed through the same experience. And yeah, first time, this is not a comfortable. But, you know, when you meet person that supports you, that says you that you speak really good and encourages you to speak, I think this motivates. And right now, this is always a great experience for me when I speak with foreigners.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think when I got started too, I may have been a little bit shy in terms of, a lot of people just, like, once they realize that I'm an English teacher and a native speaker, then they just start like, hey, let's talk now. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming when it's like, I'm not available now. Well, tell me when you're available. So some language exchange partners can be a bit demanding. So it's important to find people you feel comfortable speaking with and that you can kind of establish how you're going to communicate, if it's easier doing some like text chat to begin with, or do you have an opportunity to speak with a voice phone call, or do you feel comfortable doing video? I mean, it's really important to kind of establish that at the beginning and find people who have like a similar mindset. Otherwise, if there's no connection, it's very difficult to start working and focusing on the language aspect. And how do you go about learning the languages? Do you focus on reading and writing? Do you like to do listening, watching videos, podcasts? What do you prefer to do?
I like the approach of I use many approaches, many methods, but what really works for me and what I never quit is listening to podcasts. Because, well, it's easy. You can listen it every day because, you know, the only thing you need is to only focus on the message. And actually, I'm writing an article right now about this topic, advising my top 10 language learning podcast recommendations. And I'm explaining in this article is that, well, it's easy, it's fun because you can find podcasts on every topic you want, and you can do it everywhere. So what I do is when I wake up, when I do my workout, 30 minutes, I listen to podcasts in English, and when I go. When I go to the university, I usually that's different because I listen new episodes, so I don't really know if there is in Italian, Spanish. So I listen new episodes, but since I'm learning Brazilian Portuguese, I listen to podcasts from Brazil. Apart from listening, I like translating, because this is really, people say that you should learn naturally, you know, from without translation, like kids did. But this is really helpful, because you get the meaning of the sentence right away. You understand what it means, and I never try to memorize it for the first time. I usually translate, and I rely on the context. So I translate, I put it somewhere, and later when I reread, when I see that some words are not normally all the words magically stick in my head, because when there is a context, it's easy. It's very easy if text is not too complicated. So translator too. And yeah, I also like writing, because writing is great, because you can write, and especially since we have italki.com, we can post it, our writings, and native speakers correct, so we can check our mistakes. And this is so powerful, because you can see how you did, and how you improve, and you don't repeat the same mistakes. So this is a great way to learn grammar. Apart from that, I love speaking with people, even though I don't care about making mistakes. I try to improve, but you know, the very important thing is the message, and being able to have, you know, emotions, ideas, and all of that. This is so cool. And the last one, reading. I don't really like reading. I tried, you know, we had experience in reading this one, but yeah, it's really tough for me. Even though I've been learning English for many years, it's still very tough for me to read. And the same goes for other languages, but I know this is a very, very powerful technique, and I should try it. But normally I read the articles, because books are too hard. Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, have you had any success finding like easy to read language materials in different languages? Because I often struggle with this, because if I want to find something in the public domain, it's usually old classic literature that might be 100 years ago, and the vocabulary might be out of date, the grammar might be a little complicated. And then if I go and look for children's literature, just because it's for children doesn't mean it's easy, because children in general, they've listened to their native language for like about 5-6 years before they start reading. So they know everything about the language in terms of just basic grammatical structures and all kinds of vocabulary. But adults who are trying to find like easy texts to kind of get into the language, see some simple grammatical structures, basic vocabulary, have you been able to find texts like that when you're trying to work on reading?
Yeah, there are tons of resources on the web, and just have to type what you want. But as for reading literature for children, I never do this, because some of my friends done it, and it's okay. I think that the fastest way to learn the vocabulary you need, and the fastest way to really concentrate on the language you're gonna use, is to focus on the text and the content which is for natives. It has not been too complicated, but general language is not very huge. I mean, it's about 3,000 words, and that's it. You understand 80% of the language. So yeah, I focus on this special vocabulary, and all of this is by the context or by listening, where I listen. For example, I have transcripts, and I translate all of the unknown words. Or if I use text, I try to find something with audio, because yeah, this way I can repeat what the native speakers how the way native speakers pronounce. And the very important thing is to I know making mistakes and not having fear of making mistakes is important, but also you have to be attentive when you're learning, because if you're not really caring about you learn, you can get you know, a lot of mistakes, which could be difficult to eliminate. So I try to from the very first days, I try to pronounce the way it is speakers. I know it is difficult, but well, after a couple of months, it's natural.
So that's a lot of great advice that you have there. So I'll have to write these tips down, or you're gonna have to blog about this as well. How do you see your blog evolving? What are the kinds of projects and content that you want to put on there?
Oh, there are really many projects, but now I should focus on writing, in writing in English, not split you know, all the energy to other languages. Well, first of all, it's blogging about language learning, about my experience, about experience of other language learners. It's tips, inspiration, and all of that. Apart from that, I want to get more guest posts, because I'm interested in engaging in this sphere. I want to not only that my readers hear my voice, my ideas, but also from different blogs and different communities. I also want to conduct interviews, because I think it's a great format, very interesting. And I personally prefer podcasting rather than blogging, because, as I said, I prefer listening. But right now, I think I'm not ready to become this project, to start this project, because, yeah, first I need to build my blog to make it more, to make more content, to attract more audience, and, you know, yeah, later I would like also to write in different languages. And also to, if there are people who are interested in learning Russian, I would like to maybe start another project, especially specialized in for the people who want to learn Russian. Maybe creating authentic content, maybe writing translations of all of my articles into Russian. But yeah, I. For now, I really want to focus on writing really good articles in English. And thank you for helping me with that, by the way.
My pleasure. Yeah, so the best. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. I only started about, so there is a long way in front of me.
And what has been some of your inspiration for the blog? Have you tried to emulate some blogs or websites from different polyglots or language bloggers?
The number one inspiration for me, of course, I've been watching YouTube videos, and I'm familiar with YouTube polyglot YouTube community, And of course, one of them, Luca Lampriella, I also read some articles in his blog and really watched almost every video, because he's really, I don't want to say talented, because he also said that it's not about talent, it's about approach, it's about living through that language. And I agree with many points he talks about on his videos. And he what he emphasizes, or his particular feature, is that in almost any language he speaks like a native speaker. This is so amazing, because of course there are many people who speak 10, well, not many, but you know, in polyglot community there are there are many people who speak a lot of languages, and he is pretty much the only who speak at that level of proficiency. That was really inspiring, and I always try to find this secret of pronouncing like a native speaker. I really struggling with English, because I studied this at school, and I was taught by teachers who has never talked to native speakers, and only used grammar books. So I really have to work on my accent. But as for other languages, I think it's better, because I started applying these techniques that Luca and other polyglots talk about in their videos. And also there are many other polyglots, but what is really inspiring in this, it's not only about speaking, it's about having this lifestyle of discovering. With a new language, you learn something new, you discover a new culture. And I thought it would be a great, great lifestyle, because, you can speak with, you can travel and speak with anyone you want in their own language, and this is so amazing. And I started blog because I wanted to share my ideas on language learning. I want to meet these guys. I want to engage with them. I want to share, exchange ideas. And for me, it's the opportunity also to keep learning, to integrate language learning in my life, to keep learning by writing, by speaking, all the languages I'm learning now. And this is just a very interesting experience. When you think about creating something, you just the idea came to your mind and you make it happen. This is so amazing. So that's why I started my blog.
Yeah, it's a very wonderful, ambitious project, especially tackling several languages. And but I think you have some really good techniques, and your approach, I think, is a very good one. I think you may relate as well. I've been kind of frustrated in the school system, and usually the techniques are just a bit outdated, and it's usually focused on reading and building up vocabulary and just writing, and not enough on listening or speaking practice. How is the education system in Russia for language learning? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, as I know, it's not that difficult from the European and the American one, but as you said, it's focused on grammar, focused on learning step by step grammar rules, but no speaking at all. You just accumulate the knowledge of rules and structures and some really weird vocabulary that you even don't use in your Russian native language, and you cannot form a simple sentence, and teach you some complicated structures. I don't really understand it. This doesn't work, but it seems like this is not going to change nearest future. And firstly, I resisted. I said to teachers, like, this is not the best way and so on. And they put me bad marks. But, you know, now I just don't care. I just learn languages myself. And all of that, I just maybe I ignore it in a way. This is not the best way, but I just don't like it, and I don't want to fight for it. I just do my my learning the way I want it to do, and that's okay with me. Some teachers understand. Some teachers see that for example, I have a really great teacher of French in the university, and she understands that the things I do to learn my improve my French are working. So she doesn't really pressure me with this grammar learn. She says to me like she says to me like if it works, it's okay. I'm not that well, the main goal is getting result. How you're going to get it, it's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular context.
So at the university, how many languages are you studying at the university? Just French, or are you also taking some other language classes there?
It's French and English. I also had the opportunity to learn Spanish and German, but those are additional classes. But I thought about it, and I just decided to learn it by myself, because since it works, and it's really a faster way to learn a language. You don't have to learn unnecessary things first. You should focus on what I do. I focus on the very important things that I'm going to use in a month. I don't spend too much time on learning vocabulary, very very particular vocabulary, and it comes with time, with practice, with speaking and hearing and assimilating the language. And you don't have to pay. That's simply because, you know, if I can do it myself and I can do it better, so. And also save my time and money and energy and it's stressful sometimes when they say you to do all of this these boring exercises, and I never do things I don't want to do, and that works for me. And because if you know how to learn one language, if you learned one, second, third, you know how it works, and you just have to repeat the same steps.
Yeah, I agree.
That's how I learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was at the university as well, I was taking the university classes, but I'm a little older than you, I did Spanish, I did French, German, Italian at the university, or at least like conversational. Classes, and just the technology was not the same back then. There was no Facebook, there was no Google Translate. For text chat, I was just using something like ICQ. All was limited to text chat. But things now, definitely, you can definitely be an independent learner and keep yourself accountable and meet people from around the world and have voice chat, video chat. So. Things are definitely improving greatly in the past couple of years. And how do you hold yourself accountable with your projects, with your language learning? Do you involve other people? Do you make videos? How do you keep track of your progress? How do you keep track of your progress?
Well, normally I see the progress. I just remembered when I was learning Italian. I was learning it every day, every single day, a little bit, an hour, maybe sometimes 2 hours, sometimes 30 minutes, but every day. And I really could notice the progress after 2 months, not earlier. That's at that point I understood that you should not focus on what you get, because language learning is not something that you can acquire in 2 or 3 weeks, 3 months. It takes a lot of time, dedication, and I don't focus on the result. Of course, when I get it, I'm happy about it. But what I do is just try to find something that I like doing, some podcasts, videos, literature, some courses. And I just do it every day, just like this is my lifestyle. I'm doing it for 3 years now, and I don't really think about it. It's just I have to do this, and there is no pressure. I just like doing it. How I see my progress? Well, I started recording videos months ago. I recorded 2 videos of me speaking Portuguese and Spanish, and I think this is a great way, because you can see how you improved. But I don't know. Apart from that, I used my texts, because when I started writing in French, firstly there were like 5 sentences. Later, it was bigger, bigger, and bigger, and now it's pretty easy for me writing in French. Of course, when it comes to putting all of these stress marks, my computer makes it automatically, so I don't think about it. I'm familiar with the structure of the language, and I'm doing right now the same with English, and I think I've done it with every language. I really like writing. How else you can? When you speak, for example, people make you notice that, oh, you speak better. For example, when I was learning Spanish, I had friends from Colombia, and when we first started speaking, they said like, you should improve your Spanish. And after a month, they let me know that you start speaking better and better every day. That's how I know that I progress. But the most important thing is that you don't really need the proof, because when you learn some languages, you know it's gonna happen anyway, because if you do the right things, this is gonna happen. You have that confidence.
I definitely agree that if you can find a way to do something on a daily basis, and you put in the work, make it enjoyable, yeah, you're gonna see the results. I definitely have seen this with my Russian, where I've been making daily videos for about 50, 60 days now as part of the AdRun challenge. And for this past week, I've started doing videos for Greek, since I'm also doing AdRun challenge for Greek now, and forcing myself to kind of create something on a daily basis and monitor my progress and realize, okay, I did something yesterday, I'm going to do something today. It becomes part of the routine. And I feel really comfortable now speaking in Russian, even though I make tons of mistakes, but my confidence and feel comfortable being able to express myself. So I would definitely say, yeah, doing something on a daily basis is a really good way to improve the languages. Yeah. Sure. Do you mind if we speak a little bit in some of these languages?
Okay, let's try it.
So I can't really speak Italian all that well. I keep thinking of Spanish or French or something else when I try to speak. could you say a few things in Italian, get me started? Tell me one of the things that you liked about Luca's approach, or what is something that you've heard Luca talk about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to switch. Allora, quando ho incontrato Luca su YouTube, ho visto i suoi video e il primo video che ho visto era in francese. Pensavo che fosse un francese, ma infatti era italiano e avevo due ragioni per vedere i suoi video. La prima è che è un talento e nelle lingue è un grande poliglota e poliglotta. E la seconda ragione è che è italiano e usavo i suoi video per migliorare il mio italiano. E poi ho incontrato un altro ragazzo che si chiama Alberto e ha un canale che si chiama Italiano Automatico e mi piace molto, utilizzo quasi ogni giorno, ora posta tutti i suoi video tutti i giorni e mi piace molto questo. Così.
Capisco tutti, no, ma quando voglio parlare in italiano non è molto bene. Capisco, non so.
Non è facile.
Facile.
It's not easy.
Non è visto, non è detto. Parlo spagnolo quando voglio parlare in italiano.
Vale, hablamos español.
Hablamos español, entonces. No he visto mucho de lo que hace Luca. Sé quién es, pero no he dedicado mucho tiempo a ver su contenido. Sé que me has recomendado sus videos y reconozco que sí habla muy bien el inglés, por ejemplo. Mm-hmm. Y también cuando yo entrevisté a Richard Simcott, yo vi un video de Richard con Luca y muy impresionante que los dos cambiaban de idiomas para hacer las preguntas y las respuestas de, no sé, como una docena de idiomas.
¿Cómo?
Yo creo que fácilmente Luca y Richard hicieron una docena, como 12 idiomas, en su entrevista, o en los dos entrevistas que hicieron.
Sí. Creo que era en 12 idiomas, sí.
Y para el español, ¿hablas con colombianos y quién más? ¿O qué usas como podcast?
Ahora no hablo mucho con los colombianos porque han vuelto en su país. Y aparte de eso, yo escucho un podcast que se llama SpanishPodcast.net. Es uno de los podcasts que he incluido en mi artículo de mis recomendaciones. Y Pero lo que he hecho actualmente para mejorar mi español es ver los vídeos en YouTube y yo veo canales humorísticos de España y aparte de esto no hago nada, no hablo español por Skype durante 3 o 4 meses ya, pienso. Sí, pero no lo olvido porque escucho siempre, a veces escribo en español.
¿Y te cuesta
Sí.
trabajo mezclar o no mezclar italiano y español?
Ah, no tengo muchos problemas con esto porque lo que es muy diferente es la entonación, la pronunciación son muy di diferentes, pero claro que cuando me concentro en un idioma, cuando estoy aprendiendo español, por ejemplo, por algunos meses, después cuando hablo italiano utilizo las palabras de español. Pero no pasa con francés porque soy muy diferente y no sé, jamás utilizaba las palabras de francés cuando hablaba español e italiano.
Sí, aquí con mi familia hablamos, a veces hablamos como una mezcla de francés, español, no a propósito, es más bien como me equivoco de un verbo que yo pienso que es igual en los dos idiomas y resulta que significa otra cosa o es un error. Pero, por ejemplo, mi esposa enseña en una escuela que es bilingüe francés y español, y ahí los alumnos sí mezclan muchísimo. Y son chistosos los errores que ponen en sus exámenes a veces, aunque están escribiendo en francés, usan de vez en cuando usan vocabulario de español o una construcción, sintaxis que viene de español, aunque son estudiantes de francés o vienen de Francia, pero como viven aquí en México, pues mezclan un poco francés y un poco.
Sí, son parecidos.
Y por el francés, ¿qué son de tus recomendaciones por el podcast? Tu has dicho francés authentique.
Et c'est tout. J'ai recommandé France Authentique parce que, à part ça, j'écoute rien. C'est le podcast numéro un. Et quand j'ai commencé à apprendre le français, j'ai commencé par les textes. En fait, il y avait 7 règles de France Authentique. Et c'était les textes avec l'audio, un fichier audio. Et j'ai traduisé tous les textes et après 2 mois, je pense que j'avais déjà la base pour passer cet examen parce que ouais, c'était la seule langue que je devais apprendre au certain temps. J'étais un peu limité au temps et j'avais 2 mois pour apprendre la base et j'ai fait ça sans problème. À part ça, j'ai utilisé le petit livre pour apprendre la langue soi-même. Et oui, j'ai réussi à faire ça. Après, j'ai continué à l'université. J'ai appris beaucoup de grammaire et j'ai rencontré beaucoup de français, comme je viens de dire. Maintenant, je ne pratique pas français et c'est tout. Mais je ne l'oublie pas parce que j'ai les classes de français 2 fois par semaine. C'est tout.
Oui, à part parler avec ma femme, oui, on parle en français, en espagnol, en anglais, et on mélange, mais pas forcément mélanger les mots, les phrases. Et elle me parle en français, je réponds en français, elle me parle en espagnol, je réponds en espagnol. Mais sinon, pour parler sur l'Internet, Et j'ai pas vraiment essayé de avoir un échange, comme je parle assez bien déjà, mais j'essaie des fois quand j'écris sur l'internet, il faut que je révise pour être sûr que j'ai pas fait une faute d'orthographe ou que je continue à apprendre, parce que même quand ça dépasse les 15 ans, ou même si j'ai vécu là-bas, il faut continuer à réviser et l'utiliser, parce que sinon, ça se perd un peu, surtout à l'écrit, si je n'écris pas assez. Sur ton blog, est-ce que tu écris un peu en français?
À ce moment, non, mais je vais écrire un article sur comment est-ce que j'ai appris le français. Et j'ai l'idée de faire une vidéo sur YouTube et de se relier avec un article de comment maîtriser la prononciation française, parce que beaucoup d'élèves ont problème avec ça. Mais moi, je ne dis pas que je parle parfaitement, mais c'est plus facile pour moi que l'anglais, et que peut-être jamais j'avais problème avec la prononciation, et peut-être mes conseils seront utiles pour ceux qui veulent maîtriser la prononciation. Et oui, j'ai beaucoup de projets en ce qui concerne le français, mais pas en ce moment-là. Parce que je me focalise sur l'anglais au 100%.
D'accord. Et en ce moment, tu es en train d'apprendre l'allemand et le portugais.
Oui, c'est ça.
Et ça fait combien de temps maintenant que tu fais les deux?
Ça fait 5 ou 6 mois que j'apprends. Non, presque 5 mois que j'apprends l'allemand. Mais c'est pas comme j'apprends tous les jours, parce que je suis pas beaucoup de motivation d'apprendre cette langue. Parce que ben, c'est difficile, et non, je sais pas, c'est une langue que ne me rentre dans la tête aussi facile comme l'espagnol, comme le portugais. Portugais, ça fait 2 mois que j'apprends le portugais. Deux, non, 3 mois. 3 mois que j'apprends le portugais. Et ça, c'est vraiment facile, parce que après avoir appris l'espagnol, ouais, ça devient facile. Et la seule chose que tu devais faire, c'est l'utiliser, c'est de changer un peu de mentalité, comme en brésilien, parce que c'est important quand tu veux sonner plus ou moins comme natif. Et oui, j'écoute des podcasts, et je parle avec des Brésiliens. En ce qui concerne l'allemand, j'ai un petit livre de ben enfin pas aussi petit, mais ça, c'est en russe, et je l'utilise parce qu'il y a tout il y a les textes avec la traduction en russe, et il y a le dieu. Donc tu peux lire, tu peux traduire, enfin, voir la traduction, et répéter après les natifs. Et ça, je pense que c'est une ressource idéale pour moi. Et comme ça, petit à petit, 2, 3 pages par jour, j'apprends mon allemand.
Ah, du sprichst Deutsch. Nicht sehr gut, no, du sprichst Deutsch. Oh, du verstehst.
Ich verstehe ein bisschen, aber das ist nicht einfach, Deutsch zu sprechen. Ich habe Artikel geschrieben in Deutsch geschrieben.
Geschreiben? Ja, ich denke, das ist erster.
Okay,
Was
I
hast
wrote
du
a book.
geschrieben? Podcast? Wie studieren Deutsch?
Ich habe meine Experience geschreibt
Ja, ich weiß nicht. Okay,
über meine.
diese Wort.
Ich spreche nicht Deutsch, und das ist sehr schwierig
Schwer.
für
Aha.
mich,
Ja, genau.
schwierig, und Grammatik ist nicht einfach, und mein Deutsch ist sehr basisch. I don't know
Ah,
how to say it.
ich verstehe. Anfang, ja, du meinst. Ich denke, das ist Beginner. Anfang.
It's
Du
even
hast.
lower than a beginner.
Ja, ich verstehe. Die. Сейчас я думаю. На русском я хочу говорить как сказать, Deutsch auf
Немецкий,
Русский.
на немецком, говорить на
Немецкий,
немецком.
да. Я хотел
Немецком.
говорить на немецком, но я думаю на русском, и это
Да.
не просто немецкий, потом не знаю русский, и это трудно для тебя, когда ты хочешь говорить или думать, а не знаю, ты говоришь на испанский, на испанском, и потом ты думаешь на французском или не знаю, это трудно для тебя.
Ну, когда языки похожи, как, например, вот мы говорили только итальянский, испанский, да, вот тогда проблемы возникают. С французским нет проблем, а с русским тоже, ну, потому что родной язык. Низкий, в принципе, тоже, но когда говоришь по-английски, ой, по-немецки, то есть хочешь, ну, использовать английский, но в основном, в принципе, наверное, нет таких больших прям проблем с этим. Вот. Ну, русский, понятно, родной язык.
Иногда, когда ты говоришь на русском, ты видишь, что ты думаешь на разные языки.
Вот это есть, то есть бывает, ну, в последнее время, когда пишешь много на английском, и, ну, все вот эти термины, то есть все в английском, вот это, ну, блоговая сфера и сфера языков, то есть весь материал, который я использую, по сути, на английском, ну, и начинаешь как бы думать уже, ну, вот на эти темы, по крайней мере, на английском, то есть, ну, на русском даже порой эквивалента не найдешь каким-то словам. Вот, поэтому, да, такое есть. А вот, ну, в обыденной жизни, конечно, нет. То есть всегда русский. Никогда не было проблем со смешиванием каким-то.
Хорошо. So, I'll just switch back into my English, and but so thank you very much for this little multilingual exchange in this last part here of the interview, and it really forces me to think a little bit, like I need to work on my Italian. I also need to work on my German. I think that's gotten kind of rusty, but
Yeah, I would
it's
have to.
Yeah, it's really a really good job, really impressive, all the languages. that you speak and that you're learning. And so I wish you all the best of luck with your blog. I think you probably are going to have some really cool projects that are up there. And I've seen you in the different polyglot communities on Facebook and different communities over there to participate in. And so it's really great. I think that you have a lot of potential there with the blogging, the language learning. So keep that up. And can you give us a link to your website and your Facebook page?
Okay, my blog is called yaziki.com. It's yaziky.com, and it means languages in Russian. Facebook group has the same title, and I also have a VK group. Yeah, that's it. The two main communities that I try to build.
Excellent. Okay, so I'll make sure to include some of those links in the show notes. And and when you said you were writing an article about the podcast, so let me know when that's ready. I'll make sure to send a link, put a link with this podcast so people can check that out. But definitely very, okay. Very interesting to touch base with you. And keep up the good work. And I think you have a lot of great advice, a lot of great recommendations. And I think your example is a very good proof of your approaches, your techniques are working. And you definitely do have a strong basis in several of those languages. So I really admire your work. So,
thank you.
It's a pleasure having you on the show, and hopefully we'll have you back on, and maybe if there's opportunities to do some collaborative projects, it'd be great to work with you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it was a very interesting chat, and we'll be collaborating.
Cool. So how about we say goodbye in a couple languages here? So, пока, auf Wiedersehen, tschüss, salut, hasta luego, ciao.
Ciao.
What else would you add?
At the logo, and I'm going to repeat bye, пока, ciao, au revoir, hasta la vista, auf Wiedersehen.
Cool.
Okay,
cool.
That's it.
Cool. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll be in touch. And everybody, thank you for listening and watching this, and bye. Look forward to the next podcast. Take care.